Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So happy to have each and every one of you all. And I'm going to ask Pastor if she'll give us a word of prayer. And if I'm not back, Pastor, when you get through with the prayer, just carry on for me. And ask Evangelist Sharon to assist you. Until I get back, it shouldn't take me but a couple of minutes to I'm in the middle or something. So, Pastor Bale, Thank you so much. And thank you.
You're welcome, Pastor. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for that selection, Pastor. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Heavenly Fathers, we come before you today. We're thanking you for another day. We're thanking you for the listeners and those that participate, Father God. We're giving you thanks for all things, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would be with all those who are sick and shut in. You said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. Be with those who are going through and those who are bereaved. You say you'll keep the imperfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And Heavenly Father, help us to put our trust in you. Your word also tells us to trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways to acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. So, Father God, we just want to thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you have allowed our teacher, our pastor, our apostle, to break the word down so we're able to understand it, Father God. And, Lord, we ask that we will have the wisdom and the knowledge to receive your word and apply it to our daily walk of life. So, Lord, have your way, and we give you thanks for all things. We bind up anything and everything to try to come up against anyone on this broadcast. And we're just binding it up right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you will continue to have your way in our lives, that we will be that light to shine in a dark time, Father God. And, Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, have your way. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Good afternoon. Pastor, you available? Okay. Well, I have to say good afternoon to everyone. We had a beautiful, thankful Thursday. The scriptures that was read and shared and everything, and we just give God thanks for everything. And you know what? We even thank God for his mercies, because yesterday, I believe, Evangelist Sharon was on the road, and I'm praying that she reached her destination. And we just thank God for how he prays, God, how he watches over us. So we've been talking about, let me find my title, because, you know, I'd be trying to keep up with past, with the title. The reality. Of a new and living way. Amen. And so some of the scriptures that we shared was from 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. So, Evangelist Sharon, would you like to read that out of the King James for us, and I'll read it out of the Message Bible?
Yes. Good afternoon, Pastor Bo. Thank you for that prayer, and thank you. Good afternoon, Pastor Phoebe. Thank you for that selection. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 3, it reads as follows: For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men. Amen.
Amen, amen. That speaks volume to us right there. Would you read that just one more time? I want to make sure we get that.
Yes. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And from the Message Bible, I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much different than a babe at the breast? So that's a question we have to ask ourselves. We are to be mature in Christ. And in order to be spiritual, we have to grow up, you know, and we have to be taught this word. And so we give thanks to our pastor because that is what he's doing. He is teaching us this word so we will no longer be babes in Christ. We'll be mature and we'll be able to eat that meat, the word of God, and live a life pleasing unto him. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I thought I heard pastor. Praise God.
Yes. Hey, thank you all so much. I'm not sure where you're at, but we're talking about the reality of the new birth, okay, and the reality of this new life, the reality of this new way of living. And so we've had different components, and today the reality is facts, brothers and sisters. I'm just going to put that out there. Like your new birth, there need to be your spirit man, and this is something else I thought was awesome. The Lord showed me, he says, you know what? You'll never be born again. This is your last time. And then I said, well, why? He said, because that word is forever. You're going to live forever. I thought that was the most amazing thing. Do you realize what you're possessing? You're possessing a forever word. Once your spirit get born again, it's forever. The word of God is forever. So if the word of God is forever and the word is in you, that's forever. Remember 1 Peter, where is that, 1:23? Let's read that right quick, and then we'll move on.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You got that one, Evangelist Sharon? Uh-oh. Oh, we lost
I'm her. Sorry. No, okay. Can you? Okay. First Peter.
That's First Peter. Uh-huh.
First Peter 1. And what verse?
And 22. Uh-huh.
20. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I apologize.
First Peter 1 and 23, I believe.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. I believe that's it, too. Yes. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen.
Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think of a life conceived by God himself. Okay. I don't want to go further. Just think a life conceived by God himself. Amen.
Amen.
See, you've been born again not from a seed like your dad and your mama, but you've been born again from an everlasting seed, God's everlasting word. It can never be destroyed. See, this birth here, the birth that we're living in now, you was promised 70 by reason of health and strength. So you was promised 70 years on earth. That's your promise. You'll receive that promise. And I'm not going to get into why other people don't live 70. I'm not getting into that. But you promised that. So if you can believe that, God will give it to you. You was promised 70. But with this new birth, you promised eternal life, man, forever. He says everlasting. The word can never be destroyed. So that means your new birth can never be destroyed. Once you get that word in you and you let it stay in there, it will never be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Y'all flesh is grass. And the Bible says, glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass wither and the flower fade away. See, that's what happened with this birth. But with God, is everlasting. It will endure. So I thought that was a real interesting point, man. If for no other reason, that's a good reason to get born again.
Amen, amen.
Huh? Here you finish up on that one, huh? So the reality of the redemption, because you are part of this new creation, you got to stop believing this stuff. You got to believe that if you ask God to deliver you, Romans 4:25 has to become a reality.
Mm-hmm.
We'll read that.
Yes. Yes. Romans 4:25.
Is His Spirit in you permanently? Permanently. Can't remove it. Permanently.
Praise God.
Can I say that one more time? Permanently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. In the King James, it reads as follows, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made, the sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God, set us right with God. Amen.
See, please note, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is our Lord who hung on the cross. He became that sacrifice. So the requirement was somebody had to die, because it's been appointed unto man once to die, and after that. So Jesus died for us. God made him to be that sacrifice. So you're going to have to believe that. That's the reality. The reality is, people say, well, how are you going to pay for your sin? Jesus did it. Point to the cross. So now I have the right to live in Christ. See?
Yeah.
So, who delivered us? Jesus delivered us. Well,
hallelujah.
I'm the power of darkness.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's beautiful, brother and sister. You might take that, but you got to know the reality is real. Your redemption is real. In Colossians 1:13-14, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, if you will, please.
Yes. Colossians 1:13-14 reads as follows in the King James. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loved so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Amen, amen.
So look at it like this. Who have delivered us? Not going to, but he's already did.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't heard that, but I'll say it one more time. Who have?
Hallelujah.
That's something I already did. So it's a done deal. I like to think when I read this scripture here, it's a DD. It's a done deal. God already paid the price. You ain't going to pay it. No, I don't see nobody continue to pay their insurance bill, continue to pay it when it's paid up. I'm not seeing you paying your light bill when it's already paid up. You're not continuing paying it. And I don't see you continue to pay, you know, your car note if it's already paid. I don't continue to see you paying this stuff. When it's paid, it's paid.
It's paid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, it
sin
is.
Sin is paid.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I know what
Amen.
You had. You just hadn't been programmed right. I'll be honest with you guys. I was part of that, okay? I was part
yes.
of that.
Yes,
we were programmed
too,
to believe that the sin issue still exists. It doesn't, brother and sister. Now, don't get me wrong. If you do something, ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I did all of that. But here's
mm-hmm.
the thing, brother and sister. Sin can no longer lord over you. It can no longer be your master. How I know that? Because the 14th verse says, whew, read that one more time, Sister Evangelist Sharon. You got to read the 14th verse, people.
Yes. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Amen.
Even the forgiveness of sins. So when the enemy comes, you tell him, hey, I've been forgiven, even for the sin. Been forgiven
right.
for it. It's been paid. The
thank
price
you,
that he paid.
Thank you.
It's just what it says, people. It means that our sins are forgiven.
Thank
so
you,
why
Lord.
You keep on going to bring them up? Jesus, when you ask for forgiveness, I know this is going to just out on this broadcast, but it's okay. Get freaked out today. Your sin's been forgiven.
Thank you.
Your sin's been forgiven. Okay? Stop letting the enemy beat you up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christ holds the title for that, okay? He holds the title deed. When it says
mm-hmm.
paid, it's paid. So when you are paid for something, you have authority over that. Ephesians 1:7 says that the redemption is according to the riches of his grace. That's what he paid for it with.
Thank
so please
you.
Bear in mind, brothers and sisters, that the Father, that God is the Father of redemption. That's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you
Amen.
What. If he could not have defeated, you know, let me read y'all read that. In Ephesians 1:7. Because sometimes I get carried away, man. I be wanting y'all to know what the scripture is. Because I don't want anybody calling and saying, well, you need to give up for that. But in Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7.
Yes, it reads as follows. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments, chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So you see that? You see that? See how that works? Redemption
yeah.
means that Satan has been utterly defeated. The blood tore his head up.
Yeah.
As he denied. This is the reality, brothers and sisters. It would have been a total failure otherwise. Christ dying on the cross would have been obsolete. But it was through the shedding of the blood of Christ. That meant that when he shed his blood, Satan got defeated. So you need to stop trying to be sin conscience and be a righteous conscience. Stop trying to be sin conscience and blaming conscience and be word conscience. See, if you become word conscience, you'll step into another realm, and that you'll step into your authority. You have authority. You have dominion.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So what the devil say? You have dominion. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, or Satan shall not have dominion over you. You got dominion over him. Why you ask? Because the Bible says that you're part of a new creation. When you become part of that new creation, you're in Christ. You're the master of sin. Now, I know people don't want me to talk like that, but oh well. But the reality is redemption is real. Redemption is real.
Thank
you. So I'm not going to let Christ's blood go to waste trying to pacify you. I'm sorry you still a baby and you need that bottle. Grow up and get a piece of meat here.
Amen.
And know that you have received eternal life. Why? Because he delivered you from the power of darkness. So when you read this, and you can hear the Father saying in a real sweet voice, I think about the black folk used to sing this song, I'm free at last. Thank God I'm free at last. When I read John 8:32-36. Find that. Boy, this ought to bless your heart right here. You ought to be able to say, I'm free and I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Yeah, you ought to be able to say that. If it's real, the reality is because it's real. That's the reality. You're free. You're free. Jesus made you free. His blood made you free.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
In King James, it reads as follows, 32 through 38, you said?
6.
Praise God. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen.
Amen, amen. Friends, that's the disciple. I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Surprise, they said. But we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say the truth will free you? Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave is a come and go at will. The Son, though, has an established position, the run of the whole house. So, if the Son sets you free, you are free through and through. I know you are Abraham's descendant, but I also know that you are trying to kill me because of my message hasn't yet penetrated your thick skulls. I'm talking about things I have seen while keeping company with the Father, and you just go on doing what you have heard from the Father. Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, you have received the word of truth. You receive eternal life. So as you read this, and as you hear the Father say, you're free. Just receive that. Hey, I'm free. Because the Son has made me free. And if the Son made me free, the reality is you're free.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Most of these verses are literally translated or copies of some of our modern translation. But at the end of the day, redemption is a reality to the man who knows his place in Christ. And most folks don't know their place in Christ. So you cannot be in Christ and be free from the dominion of the devil. So you have to be in Christ to be free. That's the reality.
Thank you.
The reality. So hopefully, you know, we get it. We get this reality of a new creation. People haven't even got the reality of using the name of Jesus yet. The reality dwelling of the Holy Spirit, that has become a reality. I like the fact that righteousness is not a reality to a lot of people. They forget that Christ was actually made sin so you can have righteousness. I'm going to be honest with you, all right. Honest like I never been before. And that is this. Brothers and sisters, unless you put your faith in it, it don't become a reality until you start acting on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, acting like it's you. Let me give you this illustration. If you bought a car, they sell cars in a different way nowadays. You can buy them off the showcase. You can go online and buy them. But, you feel like it's yours till you get in that bad boy and drive it. See, looking at it, you know, looking at it online, talking to the salespeople, all that stuff good. But you don't feel it yet. You don't get it yet. It ain't really sunk in yet. But hey, baby, when you jump in that bad boy and you've done it a couple of times and you go around a couple blocks and you go, oh, yeah. And this mine. That's what you have to do with redemption. So it can become a reality. Test drive it. Try it. Start confessing what the Word of God say you are. Start confessing that stuff. See?
Hallelujah.
Then it become a reality. And you'll be jumping around. So your faith becomes a and not just a myth, not just, oh, I hope I can get it financed. It's already financed.
Yeah.
I hope they'll approve me. It's already been approved. You pre-approve when you're in Christ. You pre-approve.
Come on now. Amen.
So you tell them, and you got to do it too. You got to let yourself know. The more I think about this and the more God shows me things, we are our worst enemy. We are our biggest problem. We talk ourselves into stuff and talk ourselves out of stuff. And y'all don't have to be a witness. You don't have to be a witness. I already know. You might have talked yourself into your boyfriend. You may have talked yourself into your first car, I don't know. You talk just like you talk yourself in you and talk yourself out. You talk yourself into having your first drink. You might talk yourself into having your last drink. You might talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Whatever it is that you've done, you're the responsible person behind that. It was you. You don't have nobody blame. It was you.
That's right.
We talk ourselves into a lot of stuff. A lot of times we talk ourselves into being unhappy. If I didn't have this and if I didn't have that, I would be like this and I would be like that. We just talk ourselves all the time in and out of stuff, in and out of stuff. The reality is, shut up.
Yeah, say it now. Let God
and say what the Word of God say.
Woo, hallelujah.
You know why I know I'm healed? Because the Word of God said, by his stripes I'm healed. I'm not talking myself out anymore. I've been talking myself out of my divine healing. I've been talking myself out of my eternal life. See, the reality is, this is the Bible says you can have what you say, not say
That's
what
right.
you have. We can be the thing what we have, and we can have what we say. You've been born again.
Yes, hallelujah.
With the other people. Remember Jesus Christ, he was the firstborn. Yeah, that's what Colossians said. That's what Revelation said. He was the firstborn. But guess what? We are the others that got born after him. That's what that scripture was teaching yesterday. People didn't get it. The Jews
Hallelujah.
Didn't get it. Church folk don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they don't know that you have to be in Christ, man. When that, when Christ died, he died for that reason. So when he rose, he brought all of us with him. So he was the first born, but then we followed him, if that makes sense. So his confession become our confession. His Christ didn't need to die. What did he die for? Because he was Mary's baby. Why did he need to die? Because he was healing people. Why he need to die? Because he was setting the captives free. Why did he need to die? What did he do? He wasn't smoking no joint. And if he was, that ain't no reason to die. What? Why? He wasn't prejudiced. What did he need to die for? I mean, I'm trying to find a reason. What did he do? What did he do to you? Why did he need to die? Why you crucified him? He ain't did nothing. He just got up and declared what the Father said he was, and he just had enough unction to say what the Father said he was, and he was the Son. And just like us, we should have enough nerve, enough unction to declare what God say we are, in spite of whatever you're going through.
Okay.
Hey, I appreciate y'all. And thanks, Pastor. Thanks, Evangelist Sharon, for you all carrying on. I was trying to finish something that I had to do that was really, really, it wasn't important in the word, but I had got in the middle of it and I didn't finish, so I had to finish it. But anyway, that's what I'm gonna say. But I thank you guys. Anybody have anything they want to share? Because we'll be reviewing Sunday.
Praise God. No, Pastor, just I would like to keep ask that everyone keep Rose Foster Taylor family in prayer, and that I was asked to keep that family in prayer.
Who you said, Rose Foster?
Rose Foster Taylor, yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Anyone else have any other comment? Well, let's continue to. I think Brother Robertson has another test.
Okay.
We want to continue to pray for Travis Mercy, for Evangelist Sharon, I'm telling you, man, it's a lot of stuff goes on, people. I ain't worried about the stuff I see. It's the unseen stuff that you know, I be saying, Lord, let the eyes be open. Let them be aware, because there's just so much going on. And so we want to continue to pray for her. And also, and pray for the word of God become alive in some people. That they just become alive. And not being just a dead letter, written book. They'll come alive off the page into their spirit. Man. But other than that, you're good. Anybody else? There we go. Anyone that is not...
We'll see you all on Sunday for the review.
Amen. God bless.